A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to another episode of Relentlessly Resilient, where real people share real life experiences and the tools they've developed to move forward and live their best life. I'm Michelle Scharf.
And I am Jenny Taylor. And Michelle, it's Thanksgiving week. We are only a couple of days away from all the good food and family and gatherings. And this is my first time hosting Thanksgiving. And we laugh because I just turned 43 and I have all these years of enjoying Thanksgiving, never at my house. We've always gone to either my mom's or my mother-in-law's or both. Usually we're trying to get back to both. And so this year, my parents have moved into a patio home in a retirement community. They're ready to maybe pass the baton. We've just moved into our new home, which we're really excited
beautiful
to host.
And plenty of space.
Yes, we're excited. And so we
Where
spent...
are you going to host it? In the garage or
no,
in the... In the basement.
Okay, so we moved things around this weekend. We're going to come right to the kitchen great room.
Oh,
and
wow.
Listen, I'll post pictures. We brought half the nice patio furniture from the deck into the living room to create more seating. We just squished everything a little.
Uh-huh.
And then we've got, of course, the folding tables and the dining table. We've got the little kid table because I still have young ones and my nieces and nephews. So we're
How
going
many people
to-
are coming?
Oh, I think we said maybe 30 around there.
Oh, my
and
gosh.
And that's literally like my three siblings and my parents and then my nieces and nephews. Like, that is not the extended family. This is pretty immediate, but we're excited. And I will admit, though, my mom is still cooking the turkey. So I'm only
I was just going to say, I hope you're not really going to attempt this all on your own for 30
heavens.
People.
I'm excited.
The first time?
No, we're really good at family potluck.
Okay.
So we get together every other Sunday with pretty much the same group for dinner mm-hmm. at my mom's. So this will also break it up to go to my home rather than hers. But I've got new tablecloths. I've got new dishes. We're really excited. I, for the past few years, have been on rolls and mashed potatoes. That's kind of my niche. And my sister and sisters-in-law have kind of their specialties.
Uh-huh.
But my mom's the bird lady. We are all going to be really sad when she says she's no longer cooking the turkey because she does such a good job. And we do a massive bird and a turkey breast on the side because there's a lot of us.
There's a lot, yeah. So I have done Thanksgiving for many years, for the past 30 years. We've lived out here in Utah away from family. There's been, of course, a few Thanksgiving that we've been back
somewhere
in California
sure.
for Thanksgiving. But I've cooked for my family and other people that we would invite over that didn't have a place to go. And I love...
And you go all out.
I do. And I did it all
like,
on my
I'm not
own.
Denying it.
I do.
No,
I,
nobody
so
brings anything
I would do
else, just you.
Well, my kids were all young,
oh,
and so,
true.
And then if I were inviting yeah. people that didn't have a place to go, I
You're
didn't want to ask them to bring anything.
Yeah, ours is more we're all in different households where we're all happy to bring
yes.
a couple of things.
So
to
this year, I'm very excited because this year I decided my brother's coming.
Oh, good.
And so my brother, his wife, and his two girls,
okay.
They're adults. His
where
kids,
are they coming from?
Sacramento.
Okay, perfect.
Roseville. His daughters mostly do their Thanksgiving every year.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And so
they're
love,
way ahead of me.
They love to cook. And the only thing when my sister-in-law, Celsie, called me, she's like, the girls still want to cook and participate. They just like, this is their thing.
Oh, I love that.
And so I do a turkey. I have perfected the turkey.
I want you to teach me.
It's very easy.
Because I love turkey. And I'm very sad we really only eat turkey once a year. And I feel like I need to bring in turkey a couple more times a year.
Oh, yeah.
I just love it.
For
I
your family, especially
food.
Leftovers
yes.
and soups. And
I love the potatoes and the gravy and the stuffing and all the things you
oh,
can
yeah.
do. So, yes, let's talk. We'll have a,
yeah, we'll have
a
to
cooking
have it,
show.
Yes, we'll have to talk about that
so
after.
So, this time of year, Michelle, gratitude... We're thankful, I think, especially with children. I know it's hard for my kids to not just go from Halloween to Christmas list.
Mm-hmm.
And so we really try to say, no, Thanksgiving's a thing. We're going to pause and try to be grateful before we jump into what we want. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that's hard in today's fast-paced life where you go from I swear you go from back to school items at Costco to Christmas the next day.
I know. Isn't it strange?
Let's talk about how do we make Thanksgiving its own thing? How do we give it its due? I know you love the holiday.
I love the holiday. And, you know, for people that are Christian and have a look forward to Christmas and the birth of the Savior, for me, it's like, isn't it a beautiful way to start the Christmas holiday? To acknowledge and give thanks for the things that we have been blessed with.
And maybe be a little more mindful than we are during the year. I know my mom has this fun tradition. She puts a giant sheet of butcher paper down the hallway, and the kids can either draw or write things they're thankful for. And you know, she puts it up right about after Halloween. It's up most of the month of November. And it's funny how, as you think, well, what am I thankful for? One or two things helps you remember three or four things, helps you think of five or six things. And pretty soon, it really does snowball.
Yeah.
When you pause and make that effort, I'm grateful for these people, these opportunities, these circumstances, my house. I mean, pretty soon you're thinking, oh my goodness, I could fill the whole butcher paper myself. But most of the year, we're just so busy, we don't pause. So I love that we take the time to maybe focus a little more on our gratitude and the blessings
we
have.
I went through a self-development training in 1985, I think it was. 1995? Yeah, 1995.
Okay.
And they talked about gratitude being the key to abundance, and that really stuck with me. And I wasn't always perfect at it, but I really did start a pattern of gratitude throughout my daily life. And at this point, I have a journal that I write in almost daily.
Really?
I've been writing this month, except for last week. I think I just lost my mind and forgot a few days. But this week, I've been focused, or this month on social media, I've been focused on posting what I'm grateful for. Just in the moment.
And just kind of saying it out loud.
And then, you know, the interesting thing about it is that when you get in this habit, all of a sudden, when you just pause to say, what am I grateful for? And you just ask yourself the question, it gets easier and easier to identify the things to be positive about.
You become more and more aware of all the good, even when there is the heavy. So let's talk about this. The holidays can also be very difficult for people who are grieving, whether you're grieving a divorce, grieving a death, grieving lost dreams,
lost opportunities.
It can dreams, be hard
for people that have estranged families, family issues.
It can bring a lot of things maybe under the microscope that you're able to kind of just wash over throughout the year, and here they become the elephant in the room.
Right.
I know in our case, you know, my husband died at the beginning of November. I remember walking into that first Thanksgiving that year. I was at my aunt's house just a couple of weeks after he died, and everyone's so grateful and so positive, and there's pie and a beautiful turkey and decorations. And I remember being in the thick of that fog, just thinking, I am so grateful, but my heart is broken. My heart is full. Don't get me wrong. My heart is full. I have so many wonderful gifts and blessings, and so thankful, so much to be thankful for, especially that year when so many people were helping us. But my full heart was a broken heart.
Right.
And then each year that comes back, and those holidays can be so heavy. So let's talk for a minute. You can't make grief go away. And I don't think either of us would advise to even try to. Grief has its role. It has its purpose. It has its power in our lives.
I finally have gotten to the point where I feel like I've made peace with grief.
Interesting.
That grief isn't such a negative thing. It's just part of the acknowledgement of the love that I had for my spouse.
And it's not something to get through or get over with.
Right. It's just something that I get to pause and be with. And then I get, as soon as it's done, I get to move on and move forward and be happy and grateful again and focus on life.
How do we incorporate? Let's focus on the power of gratitude. I know there's all kinds of studies, whether they're anecdotal or statistical or scientific.
There's a lot of studies out there.
Being grateful, exercising gratitude actually really does make you feel better.
It actually really does.
It doesn't erase the grief, but I would say the gratitude helps soften the grief. It can soften the blow of whatever challenge you're facing. It doesn't have to just be a deceased person in your life. Like you said, estranged family, difficulty. We've talked with people with infertility, financial, whatever hard thing you're going through, the holidays do kind of seem to put it under a microscope. How can we have gratitude help us with that grief through particularly this Thanksgiving holiday.
Yeah. Well, gratitude, first of all, is an affirmation of goodness in the world. It results from a two-step cognitive process. One is recognizing that one has obtained a positive outcome.
Okay, I like that.
So, you know, death isn't a positive outcome, right, but we can look for things within that that are positive in the process
life that
itself.
Was lived. Yeah, yeah, the people that help.
Right, exactly. Okay. And two, recognizing that there is an external source of this positive outcome. So whether
that's
God, the universe,
karma.
And every religion from Judaism, Christianity, sure, Islam, Buddhism, Hinduism, they all have gratitude is like the very essence of what it means to be a human being in, right, in their kind of tenets of faith. So I think that that's really interesting. This time of year, to be able to focus on gratitude, it puts us in a state of acknowledgement and ability to open doors in our relationships. So maybe you do have an estranged family member, and maybe you start seeing the positive aspects of them or that situation.
And trying to recognize
what has come out of that situation.
There's good in all things.
There's good in all things. And that maybe the problem that you had with that person was the catalyst of growth for you.
True.
So maybe it was painful and maybe you have some
hurt
feelings.
Find some of that purpose.
But maybe it really has been part of your growth process. And so maybe you could start reframing that relationship,
right,
and that this wasn't comfortable and yet I've developed and grown from this experience.
And that mind shift about where that sits in your perspective.
Right. And what will that do? That will change your attitude, thoughts, or behaviors towards that person. Instead of harboring anger or upset, you can start to see the value that was there from that situation. Not that this applies to everything. There are some,
sure,
traumatic stuff out
there.
Well,
and there's boundaries that need to be in place. And
absolutely.
Maybe some broken relationships that just need to
be broken.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
And you
and
don't have
okay
to carry the guilt of that. Hey, let's,
yes,
take a quick break and come back,
yep,
and talk about a little bit more. We'll be right back.
Sounds good.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Okay, so we're talking about gratitude and how it can help with really the difficult times of life. I mean, it's not that gratitude's the magic wand, but mm-hmm, it kind of can be. Like, I found a study I was looking at that talked about the physical reaction of gratitude within your brain and the chemicals and hormones and things. It talks about dopamine, serotonin, and oxytocin.
All the feel
these
good
neurotransmitters. They,
yeah,
like, it's the same thing like maybe going to get a good workout or mm-hmm that kind of emotional high from something mm-hmm awesome that happens. Gratitude can help you also release the toxic emotions, and that positive attitude and outlook really can. I mean, you change your perspective, you've just changed your world, right?
Yeah,
we talk
exactly
about rose-colored glasses as if that's a negative thing. And while we don't want to be naive and crazy, maybe sometimes some rose-colored glasses would do most of us some good, and let something slide and maybe let something set aside. And the way gratitude can help you kind of be in the moment. When you're,
yeah,
thankful, maybe you're a little less sad about the past or a little less anxious about the future.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't change those two things, but it changes your perspective, which kind of does change those two things.
It really does.
You can change how you view the past and the future.
So there are benefits to gratitude on our physical health, and the National Institute of Health, I believe it was, in 2012, published a study on the benefits.
Really?
That grateful people experience fewer physical aches and pains in their body.
Okay, that's awesome.
Which is kind of interesting, because who complains the most about aches and pains?
People the grumpy
that are
people
aging. Right.
Oh.
for you youngins out there.
Oh, hey, trust me. I'm past young. Like I said, 43, and I own every day of that age.
I know, we're 10 years apart, but you wait till you get to 50, you're like, oh, I have to stand up after I wake up in the morning.
But that's interesting how it can actually change your physical, because I think so often we think of it as only an emotional or mental thing, and yet there's such a connection between your physical body and your mental being or your emotional person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I will ache less if I am grateful
You
more.
Will ache less.
Sign me up.
Interesting enough, people who are grateful go to their doctors more often and maintain and take care
okay,
of their
that's
physical health and well-being better.
So that awareness of what you're grateful for leads to better self-care?
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Isn't that interesting?
Okay, that is interesting.
Yeah.
Because I guess if you have a positive outlook, I mean, again, gratitude really is perspective, right? It's trying to see the good. It's trying to appreciate even the pain, knowing there could be maybe some purpose or lesson or growth to come in it.
Yeah, so and all of these things I'm finding are studies like the 2012 studies from the National Institute of Health Psychology Today have several reports backing up the health and benefits of being grateful. And then there's a 2015 paper in the Journal of Religion and Health that found that those who are more grateful for who they are and what they have are not only more hopeful, but they're physically more healthy. So,
okay, that is notable.
Yes, it is all very notable. So it's really interesting because, you know, there's a saying, what you resist, persist. So like the things that you're resisting in life will persist until you address
them. And fester.
Right?
Sure.
And fester. And I, reading through this stuff in preparation, I was thinking, and what you focus on becomes your reality.
Absolutely.
So if you're negative, 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 you're kind of inviting that energy and that intentionality of negative thought patterns or behaviors to come in.
Other negative people around you or pushing away the positive people. So
right.
It kind of
exactly.
adds on to that effect.
Yeah. And so it's really fascinating to me because I'm like, you know, I've been doing this for a long time. And after John died, I was still doing it not as often. And I've been getting into a better practice and habit this past year. And I would say that I have been getting to the place where I lay in bed and instead of thinking about like, I really wish I had a partner or I really wish that relationship would have worked out or what I really wish my husband was here. I've been laying in bed in the morning going, I have such an amazing, great life.
Wow.
And feeling really content and happy. Like I am really, really blessed to be in the situation that I am. And I can see the overall health benefits of that.
Well, and I love how the gratitude can lead you to feeling content. And content's okay. Like, it doesn't have to be jubilation
no,
every day.
No, absolutely not.
But to be content with your lot in life, you know, for lack of a better phrase.
Yeah.
So let's talk about how you do it. You say you've gotten better at this practice of gratitude. And then let's maybe look at what are some specific Thanksgiving traditions. Do you have any in your family that you had with your kids over the years?
Oh, my gosh. Yes.
Let's talk about how we do it. We know the importance of it. I want to be less achy. I want to be more positive. I get it. I'm all in. How do I do it?
Yeah, it really is a simple little practice. Just like you might wake up every morning and say your prayers before you step out of bed. Well, after stating your prayer or even in your prayer, you could acknowledge to God what you're grateful for and the things that you see. I'm really grateful my kids are all healthy. I'm really grateful they all got out of bed and got dressed and ready for school today.
And
it could be anything small or large, right?
And again, like I said, the more I find myself finding something to be grateful for, then I find more things.
Right.
But in the moment, if I kind of block the wall, then it's easy to just be busy and overwhelmed and, oh my goodness, I can't do this. But
right. It's really just taking
pause.
It's taking the moment to acknowledge the things that you are grateful for, and they don't have to be big things.
No.
I'm grateful for the running water. I'm grateful that my heat's on. I'm, you know, we take that for
grateful. I have a soft, cozy bed.
Right? I just got a new down comforter and duvet cover, and my bed has been transformed. I feel like I'm climbing into a Marriott hotel every night, and I love it. And just taking a moment to
say, I'm grateful for this blanket.
I'm so grateful.
I'm grateful I have this pillow. I'm grateful the heat turns on when my home starts to get cold.
You know, those are things that a lot of people, like you and I middle class people,
we take it for granted.
You know, how many widows out there don't end up in a situation where they're okay.
Well, and how many people, you know, you and I have traveled quite a bit outside of just where we live at home and seen, widow or not, there is real want and poverty in this world.
Yeah.
There's struggle for where's the next meal versus we're trying to cut out calories and lose a few pounds. Do you, I mean,
right.
Sometimes that perspective could be
absolutely
tapered a little. So it could be in a prayer. It could be in a journal. I know some people have like
you could write it on Facebook and share it with the world.
That's true.
Put it out there. You know, one thing that I like about doing this, I have started to notice more positive things on Facebook, and I tend to scroll past the negative things without really taking them.
I don't have the energy or time for it.
And so
I don't want that negative energy.
Yeah. So like if I start to read something and it's like just really if it's just an angry rant. Now, if it's somebody who's saying, I'm really struggling right now, I'm willing to listen to
because
that vulnerability.
Connection.
Right. Because it's connection.
Even
and that's
through
a high value
media,
for me.
I have found, I know social media has its qualms, don't get me wrong, but there's a lot of times where I've learned of someone's struggle because they were vulnerable and posted it. And now I know that maybe they need a hand or they need my prayers or my good vibes sent their way.
I had a friend who lost a dog and I sent her some cookies and it made me feel good that I could do something for
her. You feel good. Service and gratitude, right?
Yes.
Service and gratitude and the countering of negativity.
Yeah. So
beautiful.
And it's great. Like, you know, we talk about the negatives of social media all the time, but I think there are a lot of positives.
Yes.
For me, it was a great outlet to, I'm such a verbal processor, and the process that I went through John with, a lot of the book that I'm writing takes excerpts from my Facebook page.
Because you in the moment could put words to your emotions and your experiences.
Yes. And I could send them out into the world. And I was very aware that there were both enemies of mine, because I'm in politics. I absolutely have my enemies. Not everybody likes me. I know that's really hard to believe.
Can you imagine? There are people who don't like us, Michelle. I just don't know where they
are.
Ha-ha.
I just can't imagine that. But and I knew that it was going to go to both.
Sure.
But I felt the need
to just... But that's the true vulnerability.
Right.
Then. Letting it go out there, regardless of the fact that some people might not appreciate it or value
it. Some people were reveling in my loss. I mean, some people were cruel enough to like be that cruel to me directly. But, you know, it's gratitude changes everything. It changes our perspective on the world. And so that's what I wanted to say is, you know, when we go out into Facebook land and we're on there and we're consuming maybe stuff that is really bringing us down.
Yeah.
Stop it.
Yeah.
You don't have to
like
read
said,
it. You don't have
it,
to engage
past,
in it.
Unfollow. Yeah.
I've unfollowed a lot of people because I just don't want to see
the
negativity.
People, there tend to be those who it's, I mean, every once in a while, we're all going to have a negative something, right? That's human.
Right.
Versus is it every single thing you do is down, or maybe everything you do is trying to be uplifting and finding that better perspective and finding some purpose.
And for me, it's a double-edged sword, right?
Yeah.
The people that are toxically positive and only put out positive, and I never see any vulnerability
Pollyanna,
from them.
We call that the Pollyanna.
I'm like, I don't relate and I can't connect to that, right?
And you know it's not real.
Right. Because I've lived a life and I've had enough trauma myself that it's like, look, we all struggle.
But you can even be positive and real.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, that's one of the things I've learned a lot this past year, and I've spoken about it a bit. The word and. Mm-hmm. And I can be realistic and having a horrible, awful day, and I could still be grateful. I could still find something good. I can be real and not brush over the bad.
Jenny, when
without dwelling on it and reveling in it.
I'm glad you brought this up because this year, that's been my practice. Like, okay,
interesting.
When I'm getting really down, I need to stop and really focus. And I'm going to tell you, sometimes it's been the weirdest things to like, I'm grasping for gratitude.
I'm grateful there's oxygen to breathe.
Somewhat, you know, sometimes it's like, I'm grateful that I have a waterfall feature out in my backyard that I can go and listen to and
kind of the soothing.
And escape. And I connect with water. I'm a Pisces. I love the water and hearing those sounds, like it's soothing to me. And sometimes it's like, I'm just grateful for this right now.
Yeah,
and sometimes I have to just focus on that one thing in order to really kind of shift and start
to get out of
it to where I can start really thinking about the things that I'm grateful on a deeper level.
And I think that's what we can do. You can start with some of those surface things and try to get deeper. Let's take one more break and then come back and talk about maybe some Thanksgiving traditions.
Yes.
That you've had over the years or that I've tried to incorporate with my family. We'll be right back. Michelle, traditions. You and I have lived many years combined with many children between us, the good, the bad, the ugly.
Yeah.
We've hosted or been to lots of Thanksgiving dinners and gatherings, whether it's a Friendsgiving or a pie night separate from the actual feast. Share some traditions. What have you
I can tell you the whole Thanksgiving day from the time I was a child and what I continued with my children, and now it is shifting, but this was pretty much my life for, I would say, a good 40, 45 years.
Decent amount of time.
Every morning we wake up and my mom would make canned cinnamon and orange rolls.
Okay.
Both of those.
Like the kind that pop out of the can. Out of the can. Uh-huh. Okay, perfect. It's a good healthy start to the day.
I was raised Missionary Baptist. They are not the bakers that the Mormons are. So, and my mom was doing all of this cooking herself. So I'm sure
she did all that while she's still running a kitchen full of turkey dinner.
I know, but you know, probably if I had an LDS mother, those would probably been prepared the night before and thrown in. Right.
Yeah.
But my mom didn't do that.
So okay. So
they were
of,
Pillsbury canned. I don't know if we can use a brand, but
I do love the orange rolls, but I'm the only one in my family that does. So I can't buy them very often or make them very often because then I eat the whole batch. I love them so much too. I do.
They are my favorite.
Okay,
I
so
never
that's
eat
where
the
you
cinnamon
start.
Roll. So that's, we get
walk
up.
Walk me through the day.
We get up and we wake up to orange and cinnamon rolls and then usually some scrambled eggs, maybe some bacon.
Throw a little
and
bit of
juice.
Protein.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And the Macy's Day Parade.
Oh, awesome.
And my mom is already in the kitchen starting the feast.
So you're watching all the floats and the giant floating balloons and everything.
And then
Macy's.
She tells us to go get dressed, go shower, get ready, get dressed. And then we have to start setting up tables as kids. And then we were always in charge, or I was always in charge of vegetable platters.
Oh, very good.
Which has now turned into my passion
the
for charcuterie
boards. Yeah. Okay, so you started at such a young age. Good job, Michelle's mom. Good
so
job.
So I would do the celery boats and it
make
and,
everything look
and
beautiful.
As I got older, I started being creative with it. You know, I'd take lettuce to line the, and it was all
it's
my doing. It was just,
I love it.
But I think about that now and I'm like, oh, this was the birthplace of my charcuterie, my love
look
for charcuterie.
You.
So we would prepare like the olives and the celery and the meat and cheese platters and vegetable platters. And my mom was cooking.
Meanwhile, she's got turkey and potatoes.
She's got turkeys
and
going and she is doing yams and mashed potatoes, stuffing and gravy, of course.
Then,
of course, the green onion, green bean casserole, whatever.
Ugh. Green bean soup and French fried onions on top.
Yep.
Okay, I know
okay,
what you're talking
about. Our other tradition, and I don't know why or where this came in, is baked beans. So you take pork and beans and you add
I
a package
like that's
of...
a little 4th of July. Okay, I love it. Bring it to
this
Thanksgiving.
This is our family.
I love it.
It's a very strange thing. I don't know
but it's
exactly.
Yours.
Yeah, it's
Own
ours.
It. Own it.
So pork and beans with French onion soup and brown sugar and ketchup.
Okay. Yeah.
Really yummy.
It sounds delicious.
And all my kids, it's a staple for not only my kids, but my brother's
with
kids.
With your turkey. Turkey and pork
turkey,
and beans.
Turkey, pork and beans.
Okay.
And we call it barbecued beans. But so then, of course, rolls. And usually those are like Rhodes rolls or something
frozen
like that.
Frozen and home baked.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
And it's hard to pull off all of that in a kitchen if you're the cook for everyone. They're just
especially in 1970s, 80s kitchen.
Good job, Mom.
I don't know how she did it because I'm like...
I know, the little oven, the wall oven,
I know.
Smaller space.
The little teeny tiny countertop. Yeah. Like, I don't know how she did it. And so those were the staples.
What time of day do you
pumpkin
eat?
Pumpkin pie.
I'm curious.
She would make
is
pumpkin
it a lunch? Is it a dinner?
It's usually it was served around 2 p.m.
Okay.
She would make
it's a lot to pull
with
off
my
early
when my kids got older. So my mom started early in the morning, which is why she was already up with all of that.
Yeah, the cinnamon rolls are ready for you because she's been up for hours.
She's already been starting on all of that. My mom started this tradition with us when my kids got old enough. And my daughter has a real sweet memories with my mom making pumpkin pies.
Oh,
so pumpkin pies. And then we also had like a variety of treats that my mom also made. So my mom put on all of this herself in a
That's
day.
That's a good show.
Like she had to be so tired because I've tried it all in a day. And I was like,
she
I don't know why she ever do this.
Yeah, just all that day. Wow.
She made fudge. She would make peanut butter brittle.
Uh-huh.
And one of our family traditions that is a must, even though a lot of people don't even like it, they don't want to eat it, but they want it there.
But you got to have it. Sure. We have a few of those in our family.
Yeah. Magic bars, which is like a graham cracker crust.
Oh, I love those.
With
coconut. Condensed milk, caramely. Oh, yeah. That's
And I make mine with macadamia nuts.
Oh, I'm coming over.
Yeah. Oh, I'll make you some.
I'm coming over.
I'll make you some because I can't eat them anymore because I've developed allergies.
So, but that's all. See, that's all Thanksgiving.
That's all Thanksgiving. That's a lot of food.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
It's
insanity.
So
I have pared it down.
Okay.
I used to do all of that except for like the fudge and there is some things
some of the candied treats.
I don't like baking really and I don't like candy making. So,
does everybody just stay for the day? Do you linger if you're having kind of a late lunch, early dinner?
So
what's the evening look like?
At home as a kid, family would come over and people would stay until the evening, clean up and everyone would take leftovers.
Sure.
So there wasn't
split it
a ton of food.
Yeah.
And that was great. For me, my kids were usually, it was just us and our kids, maybe some other people. They'd stay for an hour, visit. I'd send them home with leftovers. Then I ended up doing a lot of this cleaning and work on myself, and, you know, putting it all away after it was all done. My husband hated it. He's like, we don't have to do this. We just have four kids.
Yeah.
We don't have to have a full spread, you know?
I love that.
And he would say that every year, but I couldn't do it. It was like, it's just another day if we don't do it different.
Right.
So I reached out. My brother's coming. I reached out to his kids, my brother. I took a sample of what everyone felt like they needed. And so our menu, I have it in front of me. It's turkey, baked beans, stuffing, rolls, green bean casserole, sweet potato casserole, which is mine. And that is really a dessert.
I also will come eat it. Oh, I know. So good.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I make
I'm
it so ridiculous.
Over.
Brussels sprouts with maple and bacon.
Ooh.
Mashed potatoes and gravy. And then we're having chocolate silk pie made by my niece.
Very good.
And my daughter and I will be making the pumpkin pie.
Oh, my goodness. I love it.
But on the note of you had lost your husband, it's the time that of year that he was killed, November 3rd. There's got to be a lot going into this. What's important to you about Thanksgiving and how have you been able to turn that month is, I'm a widow,
it's,
Jenny.
Yeah.
Like the months matter, right?
Yeah.
The dates
it is.
Matter.
And I start to feel it in my bones around September, October, when the weather turns cold. Brent and I were married in September. It's my birthday in October. October was the last time that he was alive, even though he was already deployed. I could talk to him. I remember those last few conversations, the last part of October. We get into November. It's his death day. It's election day. It's Veterans Day. Then it's Thanksgiving and Christmas right after. And so it does feel like a lot. And to be honest, the first couple of years are just a blur. Like I said, I remember going to my aunt's house and just almost feeling like I can't believe people are still eating turkey and pie when, like, he's dead.
My husband's
you guys
dead.
Know that, right? Like,
yeah.
He's dead. Like this. But other than that, it felt like another Thanksgiving. Everything else, tradition was in place. I will admit one of our traditions that probably, you know, might be different for other people. I know there can be controversial feelings. Brent and I really liked Black Friday, like even as newlyweds.
Yeah.
So we were married in September, that first Thanksgiving, and then he was gone for like a year with the Army. So we only had those first few months together. We back in the day, there was no shopping on Thanksgiving, and there was no real shopping online. Mm-hmm. So Black Friday was a thing.
Yes.
In the morning.
I remember, and I loved it.
Like, yeah. 4 a.m., we were at...
My girlfriends, we...
Yes.
Like, we get out the ads.
Oh, yeah.
After, yeah.
So one of our biggest traditions is looking at the Thanksgiving newspaper, which, again, hardly exists anymore.
You're right.
But if I think back to true traditions with Brent and I, you know, this will be the 19th year since we were married, almost 20 years ago. Looking at the newspaper, kind of plotting out what we wanted to go get. That first year, we went and got thumb drives that had, I think, 64 megabytes, and we thought they were the coolest things ever.
Those
That's
were
when
huge
we were
when
still buying
out.
The yeah. readable, writable CD
yeah.
discs. So that first Thanksgiving that Brent was gone, you know, we went to my aunt's house for dinner. We, I think, went to a different aunt's house for pie later on. And I remember just wandering around, kind of fighting off those waves of grief and anxiety. And so I gave each of my kids, I think, $20 or $30. And we went Black Friday shopping on Thanksgiving. And it wasn't Christmas. And I didn't make them wait till Christmas. And it was probably, I mean, you could agree or disagree with me, but it was something that felt like, hey, Dad would have really loved the deal. Mm-hmm. We would always be the ones, we're going to find the deal. You go this way and I'll go that way and get it in your cart. It's not that he was even a shopper, but he was such a shrewd bargainer. Mm-hmm. That's why he loves the Middle East, because you didn't go buy something with a price tag. You bartered it down, uh-huh. and he loved that. So he loved the good deal. And it was, you know, that first Thanksgiving, we, it's me and a bunch of kids at, I don't know, 6 or 8 p.m. at the big box store looking for, everybody picked something, and it was kind of like, hey, Dad just bought you all a present for Thanksgiving, because we all feel awful.
Right.
We're all trying really hard to be grateful. And, you know, whether that was a wise expense of that money or not, it released some of those endorphins of bringing back some of the traditions.
I think that's a great idea.
So here we are now. We're 4 years later. Black Friday just isn't what it used to be. Like, I keep watching for the ads and waiting. I'm like, it's been Black Friday for a few weeks. Everybody spreads it out. So in a way, that almost seems fitting. Because some of those traditions we had with Brent that felt like they died in our family when he died, well,
now
they didn't necessarily
gone.
Die, but it's changed.
Yeah, it's changed.
And that's just evidence that the world has changed. You and I have talked about this
yeah.
before. John and Brent would not recognize America today.
No.
It's changed so much in those fast 4 or 5 years, so much. And so now we're to the point where, you know, we're in this new home. I've never been the host. We're trying to embrace that and say, hey, look how beautiful life still is. Even though this is the time of year, we kind of all walk around feeling that punch in the stomach and the change of the leaves. It's the physical reminder, the cold weather, Christmas music. Oh, the man loved Christmas music, mm-hmm. like from Halloween on. And so my daughter and I will sneak in some Christmas music for Thanksgiving, but my son is like, not until after Thanksgiving. So we love to kind of do this.
There's always one in every family.
I know. And he just wants to be grumpy to be grumpy.
Right.
But so our Thanksgiving, we have a very traditional dinner, turkey, mashed potatoes, all of that. We do split it up as a family. We always have. When it was the higher generation, we'd be at my grandma's house, and my mom and all the aunts would each bring a chunk mm-hmm. of dinner. So we've never had one person making it. We all make plenty to share. We like a good bargain buy, or at least planning for it. And then getting ready to put Christmas up kind of that next day, which is, you know, still kind of that Black Friday weekend. But it is a time of year where it takes a little more effort for me to be mindful of the good. I know mm-hmm. it's there, and it's abundantly there. And like you and I've talked about before, I mean, most widows are far worse off. I mean, we've been blessed so much. We've been helped so much. We have so many good, wonderful blessings in our lives. And he's still dead. Mm-hmm. And this time of year still brings that weight. So we're trying to form some new traditions, where as a family, we're in this new home. We're going to be the host. We want to make it lovely for all the cousins coming over. So my little 9-year-old and I, she's helping me decorate. And we've got a few things we're excited about and some treat jars. And we moved all the furniture around. And it kind of feels like we're not erasing the memories or the traditions. It's just changed.
And
our physical,
okay to create new ones.
And our physical mm-hmm. environment has helped us change, because mm-hmm. now we're in a different surrounding in the home where we can say, and you know, Black Friday doesn't exist. There's no fat newspaper on Thanksgiving to run to the grocery store and try to buy.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay, like you said, it's okay to love those memories, and they are still traditions of my heart. And it's okay that they're not the traditions of today. And I think yeah. that's where I'm getting to. that content, mm-hmm. that peace, that I love what it was, and I really am learning to love what it is.
Yeah.
And that sometimes feels contradictory, because how do you love life? How do you love that he's dead? Well, I don't love mm-hmm. that he's dead. I can still love life and what it has to offer. And like you said, I love that Thanksgiving sets the tone for Christmas. Before we jump into the hustle and bustle of everything, what does it really mean? Well, it's gratitude. For me, yeah. it's gratitude for my God, for I am Christian. It's gratitude for the Savior. What better way to jump in to the bigger holiday season than to pause first for a few days yeah. and be grateful?
You know, recently, we're 4 years out, and I've dated, I've had my heart broken, and I have not dated, and I've spent a lot of time reflecting. I spent some of that time really in grief all over again, because this isn't what I wanted. This
right.
I had these dreams of this existence with my husband. But, you know, as I was going through these gratitude things, it's just been the last couple of weeks, and I'm still playing with this. So this is raw and fresh and very vulnerable. I've realized that I met John when I was 17 years old.
That's so young.
We raised each other. We had a great marriage. We had a toxic marriage. We had a marriage full of grief and pain and struggles and financial hardship and financial wins. We did it all together.
Everything.
And underneath it all, we were 100% committed to each other and we loved each other. But the grief comes when I allow myself to think about what it should have been, or if he was still here, or yeah. those things. And I'm starting to let go of that. And I'm starting to see the gift in his passing. Not that I would have wanted
sure.
it. Let's be clear about that. Not that I'm glad he died of cancer.
Right.
But because he did die of cancer, I am given an opportunity to learn a lot about myself and to experience life as an individual, not as John's wife, not as our kid's mother.
Sure.
But truly,
but you,
uniquely me. And I'm actually really enjoying this process, and I'm seeing the beauty of it. And so the crazy thing is as I accept that, I do have less grief, like less periods of
the dark,
of the darkness of, yeah. of that grief, because that grief is also about hanging on to the past, or what could have been, should have been, whatever.
How unfair it all is. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm finally at a point where I'm like, I love John very much. If he was, if all things were different, he never had experienced cancer. He was healthy. He was here. That would have been a great life too.
Right.
But now I get to have a new experience. And this experience doesn't have to include another partner, another right. man. It could just be me.
And it doesn't erase the experiences you've already had at this
right.
point in your life with John and otherwise. You bring it all with
right.
you like a book. The previous right. chapters are part of this chapter.
Absolutely.
Or it wouldn't make sense.
I learned beautiful things from this man.
Yeah.
But I also, my husband was such an adrenaline junkie. He was always pushing the edges. And I always felt the need to kind of be pulling him back. I've taken a few more risks than I would normally in my life, not only with dating, but traveling or...
Yeah.
I'm really experiencing myself in a very different way. And I'm like, I don't know that I get these experiences had he stayed.
Yeah.
And there's something really beautiful. So I'm learning to also have gratitude about the opportunity to now be independent and on my own, which, again, this is all very new.
Right.
It's good. And at the same time, it's scary. But I'm starting to see some real beauty in it as I do acknowledge the opportunity for growth.
Yeah. I love that, Michelle. I love all these conversations we have when we get to share with each other and learn. It is this great journey of and, We've had beautiful marriages, ups and downs, beautiful past and a beautiful present and future ahead of us. And it might not look a thing like we thought it would. And maybe that's okay, too.
Yes. And really quick, I know we need to wrap this up. But before we go, one thing that I'm really grateful for, I just attended the fundraiser for the Brent Taylor Foundation. It was such a lovely and wonderful night.
Thank you for coming.
It's a great opportunity for our listeners. If they want to contribute somewhere, the stories and the lives that are changing because of the scholarship are really amazing. And it was so fun to see those highlighted and to hear from some of the people that have received those awards, particularly the young man who was able to continue his flight lessons. And now he's going to be a pilot.
He's in the Air Force. He's in the Air Force ROTC, about to graduate college and go commission and be one of our future military leaders in America. Like, we're really proud of that.
Yeah, that's really exciting. And so it's a really great cause. It's amazing the work you do.
Thanks.
Everybody always asks me, how does Jenny do it? And I'm like, she just runs with her hair on fire all the time.
All
it's red because it's actually on fire.
Yes, I appreciate that, Michelle. You know, and it's been, when you talk of opportunity that's come out of tragedy, I look at the things we've been able to do or be a part of through Brent's foundation and our family's foundation, whatever you call it. And I look at that and I think, you know what? This wouldn't have happened if he had lived. And not that I would say, okay, let's have him be gone so I can do these things. But the fact that he is, and I think that's a huge piece of resilience, is that acceptance.
Yeah.
Acceptance, it just is. Yeah. I can wish away all day. It doesn't do any good. It is what it is. Look at the good can come out of it, that can come after it and from it. And the only way I do it is with lots and lots of people.
We were all crying.
Helping. Oh, thank you.
We were all crying. Yes. All of your friends, at least on my side of the room, that knew you. And people were texting me, oh, that video of Brent made me cry. I was crying. There's a picture with him on the flag. And then he starts talking. And I was like, I wasn't prepared to hear his voice. It's been a very long time for me.
Yeah.
And we all started bawling.
It's funny how that's a part of grief. Just as we wrap this up, you know, you ask about Thanksgiving and the holidays this time of year for me. Well, I've also got 7 little kids navigating this, and they're not as little as they used to be. For some of them, they're older and processing things on a deeper level. For some of them, they're finally not babies, and they'll just be able to process some things. My 6-year-old, who's almost 7, we were talking the other day, and he said something like, I don't remember much. In fact, I don't remember anything. And I kind of looked at him. I said, what do you mean, buddy? He said, about Dad. Like, I don't remember what he used to do with us. I don't remember his voice. And my heart just broke thinking, do I remember his voice? Do I remember those moments? You know, you remember the overall concept, but I'm grateful for the technology that has let us preserve a lot of him through some of those video and audio clips. And so we spent some time this past Sunday as a family watching some home videos or interviews Brent had done with the news so my little kids could hear his voice.
That's beautiful.
One thing where, we can live beautiful, wonderful, awesome lives going forward, and I am determined to. And those 15 years will always be significant chapters in my life before now, always.
Yeah.
And I'll be grateful for that always.
So John died in July, but John's birthday is November 22nd. So my family is coming.
Thanksgiving. Oh, my goodness.
My family, so it's always been a tender.
It's right there.
Sometimes his birthday falls on Thanksgiving.
Right.
I'm going to start crying. but my family's coming in, and I have not done anything to honor John every year since he's gone, but I've always wanted to. And I have developed a terrible wheat allergy, so I'm going to have to do some different recipes. But I've decided to make carrot cake and banana cream pie.
Oh,
and so tomorrow, those were his favorites, and I don't like either, but I'm going to make them for him. That's what we're having for dessert. And so we're having a pre-dessert night for our family on his birthday, which is tomorrow night, Tuesday.
Oh my goodness. Oh, Michelle, I love that. Thank you to all of our listeners for joining us. This is almost a little bit of memory lane for the two of us. Again, we learn so much every time we interview someone else. And sometimes we learn by just letting ourselves talk together for a minute. So thank you to our listeners for hanging in there with us. We would love, as always, to hear your journey, your grief, your triumphs, your resilience. Please join us. We'd love to have you reach out to us and make that connection. We'll get you on the calendar and get you here in studio or over the phone. You can find us on social media at Relentlessly Resilient on Facebook. and Relentlessly Resilient Podcast on Instagram, or you can send us an email at rrpodcast@ksl.com. Thanks for joining us today, and thanks to our great producer, Kellyanne Halverson, for keeping things rolling here in the studio.
And remember, whatever you do today, remember to be kind. You have no idea the struggles others are dealing with in their life. Have a great day.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Two years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.